Today is Sunday, December 15th, 2019, and this...
You know, you come to Vegas and you gamble, and my question is life not enough of a risk for you people? Have you never walked through a wet field in high heels at an outdoor wedding? Put on mascara in a moving car? Or said to your mother, what do you think? Do you really need to look for more risk?
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 718.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. I'm talking about some Vegas stuff today. It's going to be a tidy little show. There's not a lot going on.
Okay.
That's okay. We have a review coming up from one of our listeners of the new Cirque show, so that's good.
Oh, good.
And a couple news items. Not a lot. It's that time of year where shit kind of slows down.
That's okay.
That's okay.
There's plenty of other stuff going on.
I know, we all have a lot on our minds. Mm-hmm. It's the holiday season. Did you know that?
I am Siegfried. And I'm Roy. Our white lions and white tigers join us in wishing you a magical holiday season.
And a special New Year's with all your dreams coming true.
It just warms my heart every week. It helps make December more enjoyable.
That's good.
All right, this podcast is listener-supported by our Patreon patrons. They are awesome, and they include Jeff and Michaela Andrews, Bob Krieger, John Panisi, Dennis Dorman, Dan Brook, Jeremy Iverson, and Mari Zufel. Thanks to
Thank you. And
all of our Patreon patrons. We do appreciate it. If you want to support the show every month, you can do so at patreon.com/500. We throw some bonus content your way as our way of saying thank you. And that's how it works. All right. Let's talk about the few things that are going on that are newsworthy.
Okay.
Kind of.
Sure.
Let's start at Flamingo. We've been discussing Flamingo more than usual lately. There's been some changes happening there. One that we mentioned recently is that they are constructing a new steakhouse. The working name of the steakhouse, which we discussed a while ago, was Steaks and Alibi. But then they've done these trademarks for Bugsy and Myers and the Count Room that make me think that that's what that's going to be. But who knows? They've got this other thing that we're going to talk about right now. The another food change or addition, we'll see. The old Tropical Breeze Cafe, which was their extremely mediocre coffee shop.
Everything extremely mediocre is a compliment for most of the food at Flamingo.
Uh-huh.
Because it generally goes downhill from there.
Yeah. Yeah. As longtime listeners know, we're not fans of eating at Flamingo because they have a long tradition of mediocre at best restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Food poisoning at worst.
Or death, I suppose, would be worse than that, but I don't know of any actual cases of that.
Ooh. That would not be a good way to go.
No. No, your last meal at Flamingo?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, maybe these changes will result in some better food options. But I'm going to wait for others to judge that because
I'm still maintaining
my do not eat at Flamingo policy. Mm-hmm. Was the last thing we had at Flamingo at Carlos and Charlie's?
Possibly.
Yeah. And that was right when that opened. So, and I think that was it. We're like, we're not coming back here. This place sucks and everything we've eaten here has been not great. All right, so what they have going on in the old Tropical Breeze Cafe space that's been dormant for several years. I know we've walked past that a bunch of times on the way to the link, and it's just sitting there with nothing happening. They are going to be putting in a food hall, according to Eater and other sources. So this is kind of the thing these days.
Cosmo started it?
Mm,
or who else started
Cosmo
it?
Cosmo has done the best with it.
Oh, okay.
But Harrah's actually has one.
Yeah.
I suppose, would you consider the thing at Caesars food hall.
Yeah, Caesar's probably is the first, because it higher end food court,
yes.
Basically.
Yeah, there's a fine line between food court and food hall.
Mm-hmm.
I think there might be some others too. But anyway, Harrah's did it a while ago. They have something called the Fulton Street Food Hall.
Mm-hmm.
So
I always think of Cosmo because
they've done it well.
Yeah.
They have several good options.
Mm-hmm. They're the ones that I crave when I am not in Vegas.
I have yet to even try all those options.
I know.
But I want to.
Yes.
All right. So anyway, they're going to be putting in some sort of food hall. Information is very scarce at this point. No word on what is going in there. I imagine because it is Caesar's, they will probably model it after what's going on at Harrah's. But who knows?
Did you say Eater was the one who reported this?
Yes. Yep. Okay. Thank you for giving them the extra plug. I know they appreciate that.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
And I know that you appreciate them.
Oh, so much.
The one at Harrah's, they've got pizza and burgers and Asian food and pastries and a bunch of other stuff. It's almost like the concept of the food stations at a buffet, but instead of all you can eat, it's a, you know, pay a la carte.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one at Harrah's is a little bit different than Caesar's, where Caesar's has like individual restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
I think Harrah's is more generic.
Mm.
So it could go either way. Now, the other question is Flamingo has a food court already.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Johnny Rockets and Bonanno's Pizza and LA Subs and
yep.
Pan Asian. How the hell do I know what's in the Flamingo food court?
Wow. I
know.
I knew Johnny Rockets, but that was it.
It's weird because I won't remember what we talked about last week on the
yeah.
show, and I remember the restaurants that are in the Flamingo food court, which I think I've eaten at once. I think I had a slice of pizza there once about 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Huh. My brain is messed up.
It's interesting.
It scares me. So we'll see what happens to that. I can't imagine.
Is that stored in the same part where the lineups for every metal band
yeah.
in the late 80s is?
All of my 80s lyrical knowledge and... Yeah, all that stuff is in the useless category. And once in a while, there's something that allows me to spew forth the worthless knowledge that I hold in my cavernous head. So I don't know what's going to happen as far as the food court, if they will have both. I suppose if they're different enough,
mm-hmm.
they would continue to have both. But we shall see. So that's what's happening at Flamingo. No date on when that's opening either. It's just very vague. It's just, yeah, they're building this thing. I think it comes from some construction paperwork. I think that's where the news was discovered. All right, another Caesar's property near Flamingo, of course, is The Link, and they have made a change already to something that we talked about when we wandered through The Link to check out their renovations that they did. They're sort of, how would you describe that, where they tried to make their, and they did. They did a really good job of making mm-hmm. part of their casino more interactive and more, I'm not going to say the other I word.
Right.
But they've incorporated different things that aren't just gambling, but the gambling is seamless and it all
mm-hmm.
works well together, which most places
space.
It doesn't. Yeah, it really is. Well, the main bar there is Rematch. That's the bar that opens up right onto Las Vegas Boulevard, a really fun space. One of the things that we discussed is that they had this thing where on the bar top, they had a game that would pop up once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something with aliens and sharks.
Yeah.
I think, was that what the deal was? Or was
it
just
aliens?
Aliens
with spaceships, and you had to try and touch as many spaceships
yeah, that's right.
and make them explode.
The sharks were what were on there when the game wasn't
yes.
playing.
Yes.
So you had this screen in front of you that just had kind of this cool screensaver thing, and then every so often a game would come up, and you had a chance to win a free drink.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little touch.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone. They got rid of that in favor of just regular bar top video poker machines.
Which, of course, has horrible pay tables.
Because it's a Caesar's property and it's on the Strip.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it does have bad pay tables, but I can see the reasoning behind that because
yeah, that would generate more revenue
and people probably sit there longer if they're playing.
Yeah.
So I don't have I'm okay with this
despite the horrible pay tables. I could see just for the atmosphere, just hanging out.
Oh
doing
yeah.
That.
Yeah. It's a really cool place to sit. And as always, we've discussed many times watching the freak show wander by.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can do that and play and all that in one location, why not? So I don't consider this a downgrade. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
So there you go. If you haven't been to The Link in a while, it's worth wandering through. They've done a nice job with that renovation. All right, a couple items downtown. Downtown Grand has been getting a lot of airtime on this podcast as well. This summer they decided to do a nice thing, and they did massive upgrades on their pay tables of video poker. So for us video poker players, we were like, yay.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it took them a while to kind of find a balance between that and their players club.
Right, because they upgraded the pay tables, and then they're like,
no points. And then they said, okay, some points, and that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Some points on the better pay tables. And
mm-hmm.
anyway, it doesn't matter anymore because they have completely gone back to what they were before. They downgraded all those 100% plus potential video poker games, and now they're
points for some, tiny American flags for others.
They have they still have some decent video poker there, but not to the level that they did for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry to see that happen, because we like better gambling odds rather than worse gambling odds, and boo.
Yeah,
I wonder what exactly. This is not surprising, I guess, because Downtown Grand does this shit a lot. Remember, they moved their whole, for a while, they moved all of their tables, their table games to the back of the casino.
Yeah.
And it lasted like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then they moved them all back to where they were before.
The tiny bit of liveliness in the casino.
I know.
We're just going to put it in a corner.
Let's hide that. Yeah. So they try stuff there, and a lot of it doesn't stick, but I'm glad they tried. I wish they would have maybe found a better balance and kept some of the great games. And anyway, so there you go. That's what's happening at Downtown Grand. Oh, and that information comes from VP Free 2, which is a great resource for video poker players. If you are looking for better pay tables, that is the site that tracks all that stuff. So check it out, vpfree2.com. And finally, one other thing downtown. We've been talking about Fremont East and mainly about the questionable future of 512/Red.
Mm-hmm.
Next door, is it right next door to that? I think so. Yeah, between Evil Pie and 512 is a nice little cocktail bar. It's been there for 9.5 years. It's called Vanguard. And that is closing.
That's too bad. They had a very good happy hour.
They did.
Did we take advantage of it all the time? No, but it was very good.
They had a great happy hour, and they had a long-standing Groupon deal
where
you could save some money that was very popular with, I know, many of our listeners as well. And yeah, I'm sorry to see them go. It was an odd little space. It's not a very big bar.
Mm-hmm.
And if you went in there early, it was just completely dead, which we like to do because then we had the bartender all to ourselves. They could make concoctions unique to our tastes. Which for a mixology bar is nice when you have a chance to have the bartender all to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But then later on at night, they would bring in a DJ and it would become more lively, and we'd walk right past it because, man, not our scene.
Not our scene.
But yeah, 9.5 years is a pretty good run.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it was around that long until I saw an announcement. The owners posted on their Facebook page that they've decided to shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we're going to have an empty space on Fremont, and we will see what goes in there. I'm sure it will probably be another bar that would seem to be the thing that would fit in that space. And
again, if you like something, go often.
Yeah, go often, and you know, if it's definitely one of your favorites, don't miss it any trip, because you never know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know how long it's going to last. Now, if you're looking for something else as far as a similar type of bar, Downtown Cocktail Room is always a good option for fancy ass mixed drinks, and they have a really good happy hour too. So it's worth checking out if you haven't been over there. So there you go. That's the little bit of news we've got this week. We also are doing one of these. Do you
remember? I don't remember fucking anything, man.
All right, we're going back about 10 years to August 2009, show number 222. Remember when European topless pools were all the rage for about 10 minutes in Las Vegas? Well, Rio, they decided to take it take it one more step, not just having guests be topless around their pool, but they partnered with local strip club Sapphire.
So they could have professional topless people.
Professional, yes, exactly. Sapphire pool at Rio featured strippers that would come over from Sapphire, and this lasted, well, they did it two summers, 2008, 2009. Unfortunately, and who would have seen this coming, their plans went awry when undercover Metro police arrested a couple of the girls on prostitution charges. Strippers as prostitutes? What?
Not always.
No, not always, but it's pretty common. I mean, it's common enough that people know that strippers, there's a chance that you're going to have some crossover there. That's what I'm saying.
That nobody talks about what happens in the champagne room?
Exactly. Mm. So anyway, Rio immediately ended that relationship with Sapphire, and that was the end of the Sapphire pool at Rio. I don't know if I appreciate their innovation with, you know, going outside of their little ecosystem and partnering with a strip club, or if that was just like a bad idea. I think it was a bad idea to begin with.
Hey, let's bring in some professional boob showers.
Yeah.
Show the regulars how it's done.
Oh, Vegas. Where else would this happen but Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
I love it. All right. So thank you to Rio for that entertainment 10 years ago. Okay. We have a report from one of our listeners. He sent this, instead of calling in, he sent in a higher quality sounding clip for his review. So let's hear from Steve, shall we?
Hi, 500. This is Steve from Chicago calling in with a few comments about the new Cirque du Soleil show at Luxor Run, or R-U-N. This is that live action thriller as they are marketing it. First thing is it is not immersive as much as they tried. And it is far from great. It's also far from the worst show I've ever seen, but it does have a lot of issues. Cirque du Soleil was already selling spotty seats, being there were two or three people and then two or three or four open seats and then another two or three people. So clearly they were trying to make it look a little full, which is perfectly acceptable, but it's off to a rough start. Like the Criss Angel show that used to be in that theater, it's not really Cirque-y enough for real fans of Cirque du Soleil, but there's a fair bit of Cirque du Soleil style stuff kind of grafted on, so it's in this weird middle ground. So I'm not really sure who the target audience is. They're not really going to reach the Cirque people, and, you know, they're not going to reach the teenage audience real easily. The much-vaunted story just completely sucks. It is narrated, so there's constant kind of talking you through the story, but it's really completely meaningless and jarring a lot of the times. It opens with a 20-minute piece, 20 minutes of video, just screen only to kind of set up the backstory, which is really a difficult thing to overcome. The theater set up like very much like Michael Jackson One Theater in that they make use of the side walls. They project a bunch of stuff on there. There are doors in those walls that people come in and out of. Which plays into a point that I'll make in just a minute. On the upside, the technical elements with the projection and the practical effects and the fire and the stunts themselves are pretty great. But the transitions, which are necessary to make the set changes and things of that nature, are just completely jarring. They were going for something immersive, to use the famous I word, and it just ain't there. It just ain't there. The biggest problem, I think, with the show is there is no way to tweak it. Like when Opium was first rolled out, I saw it pretty early on, and I saw it again maybe 6 months later, and it was 85% different. The characters were changed. The storyline was changed. The dialogue was tightened up considerably. There's no way to do that with the show because of how tightly everything is produced. So I don't know what the fix for that is. If you've seen America's Got Talent, they always have a couple of these projection acts where there's somebody either running in place or jumping or diving around in front of a projected screen. If you understand that, you'll understand basically what this show is. There's a whole lot of that. There's a relatively infamous torture scene, which a lot of people are wound up about. It was pretty basic. I'm a fan of those kind of geek tricks like the blockhead where you put a nail up, you know, into your sinus cavity. It's gross, but it's kind of well understood how it's done. That's what this is. And it certainly didn't seem very extreme to me, but a lot of people are making hay about that. Biggest point, when I mentioned the way it's the theater set up, do not sit close. Do not sit in the first half of the theater. I think if you're farther back, and we were very, very close, I think if you're farther back, it'll be easier to kind of get enveloped in what's going on in front of you and behind you and to the side of you. We were so close that we had to kind of keep going back and forth, left and right, to kind of see all the action. So sit further back and or much further back to have the best experience. And my final piece of advice is I very much think it's a show that you should attend after visiting one of the recreational dispensaries in town. That's what we did, and I think we enjoyed it more. I think we were much more forgiving of some of the weird parts, but can't recommend it unless you're a real, real Cirque nut or just a real theater nerd that loves to see the kind of production that goes into something like this. In that regard, it was okay, but it's a struggle.
All right. Thank you for that review. I like that he gave the advice about where to sit. And yeah, very, very thorough review. That's great. Yeah. And, you know, Cirque has not really pushed this as a Cirque show. They've really downplayed that part of the marketing like they would do with a traditional Cirque show. So I think they're hopeful that people don't come in expecting all the acrobatics and stuff. Yeah. I was curious how that would work because it really seems like they're trying to take an action movie concept and put it on stage. Huh. And I don't know. Yeah. A 20-minute movie to start with?
That would... No, unless that movie's super engaging, which it doesn't sound like it is.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad. We'll see if they find some way to...
To tweak it.
But it sounds like that would be a challenge based on what they're working with. So... Mm-hmm. I suppose every once in a while you'll have a show that opens and then it will shut down for like... a month or two for adjustments, and in some cases they actually do come back and have significant changes. So I suppose that would be the only way that they would be able to do it if everything is that integrated and produced. So we shall see. Thanks for the review, Steve. We do appreciate that. And that brings up, of course, the important topic that Marilyn the New Musical is still on summer hiatus.
Okay.
2.5 years running. All right. That's going to do it. We've got some karma donations. Ben with a karma donation for a trip with his wife over Christmas. Have a great time.
Yes.
Tim with a karma donation for a trip from the 13th to the 16th. That's happening as we speak. Let's see. A trip that's been 6 years in the making to celebrate the nephew's 21st birthday.
Nice.
Staying at Wynn, courtesy of their app, and hoping to show the nephew all the Vegas-y goodness. That's awesome. I hope that you have a good time. Yes. Hope your nephew enjoys it. Hope that the anticipation of 6 years is worth it for the kid.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jason, a pre-Christmas 48-hour desert research mission coming up just before Christmas. Girlfriend's first time staying at MGM Signature. Also doing a downtown pedal tavern. I didn't know that was still around.
I didn't either.
So there's definitely going to be a voicemail. Okay, I'm going to be waiting for the voicemail report from the pedal tavern.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure about that kind. I know they have them here, they have them all over in big cities. I don't want to work that hard while I'm drinking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to exercise, and I don't want to exercise in general, but exercising and drinking at the same time seems like they would offset each other.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the point for some people.
Yeah, but I don't mean like calorie wise. I mean
you mean like enjoyment
fun wise? Yes. I get it. It's a group activity. It's amusing.
Yeah.
Oh, until a car careens into them while they're driving, you know, while the pedal pub is going 7 miles an hour in traffic. But I hope
that
doesn't happen.
They're usually pretty good about sticking to side streets. And... No?
I don't know. I've seen them in Minneapolis where they shouldn't be.
Oh.
All right. Tara, I've hoarded the last few episodes to take the edge off of the plane time. Birthday in Vegas at 56 is like Christmas morning at 6.
Yes.
Happy fucking birthday to me, bitches. Fucking birthday to you, Tara. Hope you have a wonderful trip. AJ with a karma donation for a surprise last-minute trip that is happening as we speak. Join a couple of great friends, Chris and JP. Thanks to his lovely wife, Jenny, for the amazing early Christmas present.
Aww.
Jenny gets the hero award of the holiday season for that. That's awesome. Nice going, Jenny. Have a great time. And finally, Holly headed to Vegas today for a few days to escape reality. Last time, that's right, we ran into Holly last time, and she said, hopefully that will happen again. Well, guess what? It won't.
Sorry.
Sorry.
But I hope you have a good time.
Have a great time. Have a great trip. Thank you all very much for supporting the show. We do appreciate that. You're all awesome.
We would like to be in Vegas, however.
We're not. That's my sadness.
I know.
Okay.
That's it. It will happen.
I know. I know. Just have to wait. Time will pass, and then we will be there. Until then, we'll continue doing podcasts and talking about Las Vegas and trying to...
Until then, we struggle with the itch. That sounds bad.
It does sound bad. Nothing that a little bacitracin won't take care of. All right, 500bymidnight.com is the website. 500@gmail.com is the email address. You can find us on Twitter. I'm 500. She is Anita Martini. And, of course, the voicemail line. We love to hear from you. Call us with your reviews and observations at 702-866-9494. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We will be back soon with another show. And until then, have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.